You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 309, and today I want to talk about personal convictions. The reason is this topic, I know we've addressed it before on this podcast, but it's a common issue and it commonly comes up in lots of different forms. You know, one is questions about the things that the Bible does not specifically speak to or directly address in God's word. So they're not biblical things or unbiblical things, they're what we'd call extra biblical things, in the sense that the Bible doesn't directly address it. Obviously, where the Bible addresses particular topic or issue, that is the answer for that topic or issue. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God, and it is the final authority for all life and godliness. So whatever the Bible speaks to, that is the answer on that particular issue. And so there are so many issues that we don't have to wonder about, right? We don't have to think about what is murder. The Bible explains that. We don't have to think about how we are to treat and address our parents. The Bible addresses that. Or our employer. The Bible addresses that, right? We understand what biblical sexual ethic is. What is God's good design for human flourishing in that respect, and what is sinful? The Bible addresses all these things. But there's a whole nother level of issues that commonly come up in this context of what we call personal conviction. And it can be very confusing for a lot of people, and it can be very challenging for a lot of people, because we have two different things from a human perspective that come into play. One is, as humans, I believe fundamentally that we like to relate to others. We like to have good connection with those other people that we're in relationship with, or in community with, or even in faith community with. And as a result, we want to have the same standards. We want to have the same convictions. We want to have uniformity, because in uniformity, we have community and relatability and all those sorts of things. The second aspect of this is, so often people that, you know, come from kind of a, we'll say King James background, you know, read from the King James Bible, we're raised with this idea of, not only do we avoid sin or we avoid bad things, but we avoid the appearance of bad things. Speaking specifically of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, where the scripture tells us to abstain from every kind of evil, or avoid every kind of evil. And yet in the King James Bible, it was translated abstain from the appearance of evil. And that has been so often used over the years, as people say, oh, you know, what you're doing is the appearance of evil and you really shouldn't do that. And the translation of that is, hey, what you're doing is against my own personal conviction, therefore I'm uncomfortable with it. Instead, the text is very clear. We're not called to abstain from the appearance of evil. I mean, granted, if you are doing things that appear evil, odds are good you're actually doing evil. So I'm not discrediting that at all. But literally, the text says to abstain from all evil. Don't be a part of any evil. And so it's not this loaded gun verse that gives, you know, people the ability to police other people's conviction. And this, the Bible really does address this idea of personal conviction in, I think, most specifically, the Apostle Paul brings it together in Romans chapter 14, where he addresses this particular issue head on how we are to think about and how we are to engage this idea of personal convictions. How do we handle that? How do we think about that? And he gives us, you know, really some very good keys as to how we are to think about these things, how we are to understand these things. And of course, in the specific context of Romans 14, he's talking about primarily, you know, whether you eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols or not been sacrificed to idols, you know, whether that be a particular issue that should offend your conscience, you know, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, should you eat meat sacrificed to idols? Now, that particular issue isn't really real to us in the same sense today, as we don't have the directness of meat offered to idols or not offered to idols. But we do run into these areas of moral concern in a broken and sinful world. There literally are times by engaging in something as simple as commerce, we actually are supporting and encouraging profound evil or profound sin in culture. I mean, one example of this is like, think of all the major, you know, grocery store chains, even the Walmarts and the Fred Meyers and the Costcos and, you know, all these kinds of things. And how many of them do you think support, you know, liberal, secular, progressive causes? Probably a lot of them, you know, probably a lot of them support abortion related things or issues, you know, that kind of thing. So by just simply engaging in commerce in a sinful and broken world, we kind of run into the same dilemmas, largely that the followers of the way, the Lord Jesus, found themselves in that day, living in a pagan culture as followers of the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh himself. And so there is a lot of similarity to that. But also to that is a question of one's personal spiritual faith and walk with the Lord. And even to a degree, the maturity of one's faith and walk with the Lord. These all come into play in lots of different contexts that fall into this particular category. Like, for example, I think most often, you know, these personal conviction questions come up around things like alcohol, or let's say kissing before you're married, or, you know, any of these kind of things. Should a Christian gamble? Should they go to the casino? You know, all these sorts of things. Should they get tattoos? You know, all these particular issues that fall into this category of personal conviction. And so how does Paul address this? Romans 14, first of all, he starts out by encouraging us to recognize the faith of our brothers and sisters and where they're at in relationship to the Lord. You know, he says, Romans 14, beginning of verse 1, accept anyone who's weak in faith, but do not argue about doubtful issues. One person believes he may eat anything, but the one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat must not criticize the one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to criticize another's household slave? Before his own master, his own Lord, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And so the first point, you know, Paul's pointing us to is the fact that a personal conviction of one's faith is not up to me to decide, and it's not up to you to decide. And conversely, it isn't even a decision we make based on what other people do. It's a conviction that we come to based on how the Lord is leading us, or where our faith is at, where our conscience is at before the Lord at any given time. And that can be really difficult. And that puts us into positions where we can have lots of different views. I think one good example of this, you know, to wander into the world of politics a little bit, was in the election surrounding, you know, Donald Trump. It was a real question that a lot of Christians had to wrestle with, myself included, as to, you know, do we vote for somebody who seemingly has really bad character, who seemingly, you know, has lived pretty godless his life, and, you know, embraced a lot of worldliness and behaves in a lot of uncharactered ways, you know, to a good degree. And you saw Christians going lots of different directions on this as they had to come to the place of just saying, you know, before the Lord, here's my conviction. Before the Lord, this is what I can live with. Some Christians before the Lord voted in favor of Donald Trump, and some Christians before the Lord said they couldn't bring themselves, you know, to vote for Donald Trump. And I totally understand that wrestling, and the response, at least as the Apostle Paul presents it here, would be to say, hey, believers, that's between you and the Lord. That literally is between you and the Lord. It's not up to me. It's not me, the Apostle Paul, saying, oh, here's my perspective, though he does offer it, right? He says, meat offered to idols is nothing. We know that it means nothing. We know these idols are nothing, you know, in as much as there are idols in the world, in a real sense, it's Satan and demons. That's what the powers and forces in the spiritual realm are. There aren't other gods. You know, Yahweh alone is the only God. And that isn't to say they don't have real power and they don't have real force in the world. But the actual idols, or the names of the idols, you know, these are nothing. They're not real gods. And so from Paul's perspective, he can eat the meat, no problem. However, he begins by pointing out, though, that it's not up to the Apostle Paul to determine what your position on the issue should be. And that's what I would say. We, as believers in Jesus, should be asking the question, you know, does this thing move me closer to the Lord, or does it take me farther away from the Lord? Does it draw me closer to the Lord, or does it move me away from the Lord? That's the big question, right? It's, does this thing draw me to worship in an idolatrous way other things that are not God, or does this thing move me closer in relationship to the Lord? And if that thing moves me closer to sin, and it moves me closer to idolatrous worship of the things that God created instead of worshiping God himself in a proper sense, then I ought not, as a believer, to engage in those things. And so you end up with convictions that for you and for your faith and for your walk and for where you are, and even to a degree, based on the kind of sin that you wrestle with, right? We understand from like Hebrews chapter 12 that all Christians have a besetting sin in their life, right? The sin that you struggle with maybe more than any other sin. And for every Christian, that can be different. It's not like we all have the same, you know, particular area of sin struggle or temptation. And so as a result, our personal convictions as it relates to those things really does need to be different based on the person. I mean, there are obvious things that are true and good for all believers, and we should all understand and practice that, you know, again, going back to those commands that God has clearly given in his word, right? Those we all obey, and we all engage in the same way, absolutely, under the authority and weight of God's word. But I'm talking about when it comes to these areas of personal conviction and those, you know, those sidebar, if you want to put it that way, those sidebar things, those are the areas in which personal conviction comes into play. And in those areas, our conviction should be really born out of just a desire for good godliness. And even to some degree, I think some convictions, it really is a question not whether it's sin or not. Maybe it is not sin in a particular context for a particular person. I think alcohol is a good example of that. What is very clear from the Bible is that getting drunk is a sin, and being under the influence in a compulsory way of a thing is a sin. So if you get drunk, that's sinful behavior from a biblical perspective. And if you are under the control, if you want to call it compulsive sin or addiction or whatever language you want to put around that, if that's true of you, then that is also sinful behavior. We should not be addicted to anything from a biblical perspective, other than maybe if you want to say you can be addicted to Lord Jesus. You could be addicted to God's word. Yeah, that's okay. You can have those addictions. But any other kind of addiction is actually sinful. The Bible's very clear about that. If we need those things, if we have to have those things to be okay, then that is sinful behavior according to the Bible. That said, are there many people who drink alcohol and they never get drunk and they never get tipsy and they never drink too much and they are not compulsively addicted or drawn to those alcohol or drugs or, you know, those kinds of things? Well, let's just stick with alcohol. Drugs, I think, is always addictive. So biblically speaking, that's a no. But there are people that definitely do that. And do I believe inherently that's sinful behavior if they're not getting drunk and it's not compulsive in their life? I would say from a biblical perspective, that probably isn't sin. But I do think it invites another question. As believers in the Lord Jesus, is it wise? So this is kind of where I'm at personally when it comes to alcohol. I'll offer my own personal opinion here. I don't necessarily view it as a sin. Of course, I don't choose to drink alcohol. And the reason I don't choose to drink alcohol is not because I believe it would be sinful for me. I'm not somebody who likes to be under the influence of things. And I don't think I would enjoy being drunk. I don't enjoy that kind of sensation. I don't even like being, you know, under the influence of cold medicine or any kind of medicine, you know, any of those sorts of things. That's just not something I enjoy personally. I don't like it. So that's not a concern real actively in my mind or my heart in relationship to that. But at the same time, I still don't choose to drink. And the reason I personally don't choose to drink is because I don't believe it's wise. And I think the Bible does speak to that. An example is like Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 23, verse 29, it says, who has a woe? Who has a sorrow? Who has conflict? Who has complaints? Who has wounds for no reason? Who has red eyes? Those who linger over wine, those who go looking for mixed drink, don't gaze at wine because it is red when it gleams in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites you like a snake and strikes you like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and you will say absurd things. You will be like someone who sleeps out at sea or lies down on the top of a ship's mast. They struck me, but I feel no pain. They beat me, but I did not know it. When will you wake up? I look for another drink. It's a proverb that just speaks to the foolishness, right? Like, has any good godly story began with, and I was drinking alcohol, and then some awesome godly thing happened, right? I've not heard that story. I've actually never heard that story. Maybe that story exists out there, but it really is not a wise thing. And so I do think, you know, part of our thought in terms of personal conviction as believers is not just necessarily, is it sin or not, but also, is it wise? You know, and that goes back to that fundamental question. Does it move me closer to the Lord, or does it move me closer to sin? The second thing Paul then addresses in Romans 14 is, okay, before the Lord, whatever conviction the Lord leads you to, for you, that's sin. It's for you to do it when the Lord has convicted you not to do it, or not to do it when the Lord has convicted you to do it. Then for you, it would be sin. But then he goes on, after arguing for the fact that it is before your own master, your own Lord, that you stand or fall, right? He goes on with that in verse 5. One person considers one day to be above another day. Someone else considers every day to be the same. Each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes a day, observes it in honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat, yet he thanks God. For none of us live to himself, and none of us die to himself. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and came to life for this, that he might rule over both the living and the dead. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you, why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before the tribunal of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so he makes that very clear point that it is before the Lord that your conviction comes. It is up to him. You're not trying to please me. You're not trying to please Jason. You're not trying to convince us. It's between you and the Lord. And then he goes on, not only does the Lord bring us to convictions and do we hold those convictions before the Lord, but also we're encouraged to respect the convictions of others. That doesn't mean I have to share them. It doesn't mean I have to practice them. But I am called to respect them and not encourage or try and convince my brother or sister in Christ to get away from that conviction. And that's where he goes in verse 13. Therefore, let us no longer criticize one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or a pitfall in your brother's way. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one, it is unclean. For if your brother is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy that one Christ died for by what you eat. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. So his point is, don't try to cause stumbling of your brother or sister in Christ. If that is their conviction, if that is where they are before the Lord, and guess what? It's not my job to determine, as long as it's not an unbiblical thing that they're convicted about. You know, if somebody comes to me and they say, you know, the Lord gave me a conviction that it's okay to have sex with my girlfriend, I'd say that wasn't from the Lord, right? On the authority of God's word, I know that's not from the Lord. Now, I've literally, as a pastor, have heard that kind of argument. And we can genuinely say that is not from the Lord, right? God's word is very clear on this. So that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about these things, again, that are not biblically specifically addressed, that fall into this area of personal conviction. You know, it's not up to me to determine if that's a legitimate conviction they have before the Lord. I just assume that it is. If they're a believer in the Lord Jesus and they're walking with the Lord, it will be the Lord who will correct them if it's not right, right? It is before the Lord that they have to give an account if they're not right. And so all I do is respect their conviction, which means that I do not try and get them to walk away from it. I do not try and talk them out of it. And I do not try to influence them to stumble by engaging, you know, in front of them. So let's say you have a believer who follows a more Old Testament Jewish model of thinking, and so they won't eat pork. Okay, then I'm not going to invite them over to my house and serve barbecued pork or pulled pork. That's obviously, that would be violating their conscience before the Lord, because their conviction is not to do that. So if I invite them over, or I have a friend who will never watch a rated R movie, even if the reasoning for the rated R designation is because it's like a World War II movie, because it depicts, you know, war, even then that would be a violation of that conviction. And given that that is the conviction, you know, I'm not going to invite that brother over and watch the movie Saving Private Ryan, right? Or one of these other World War II movies. Do I share that conviction? Not necessarily, but do I respect it? Absolutely, because that's their conviction before the Lord, that it is not right, that a Christian should not be engaging in any kind of violence, including watching, you know, movies that are or depict violence. And that's a very legitimate conscience position before the Lord. So, and this is Paul's point, is, you know, I don't have to agree with it, I don't have to share it, but at the same time, the law of love that the Lord gives me for my brother or sister in Christ is I still respect them. I still encourage them, even, you know, knowing that's their conviction before the Lord, I will encourage it. Hey, brother, remember your conviction before the Lord was to not engage in any kind of violence, even movies. So I'm going to encourage you to continue to hold that position before the Lord, because it's before him. And then he goes on, finally, Paul, in Romans 14, to talk about how everything we do should literally be done under conviction before the Lord. He says in verse 19, "So then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to cause stumbling by what he eats. It is a noble thing to not eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything that makes your brother stumble. Do you have a conviction? Keep it to yourself. The man who does not condemn himself by what he approves is blessed. But whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from conviction, and everything that is not conviction is sin." Now, what Paul's saying here is two things. One is, if you have a conviction, you don't have to share it. You don't always got to share it with everybody. If there's no edification, if there's no encouragement in it for your brother or sister in Christ, then you don't always have to share it. Right? We don't always have to share everything. Some convictions we have before the Lord are really meant to just be between us and the Lord, unless, you know, in some way it can encourage the faith or walk of my brother or sister in Christ. And so I don't always need to share it. And then that last verse there at the end, where he says everything that is not done out of conviction is sin, he doesn't mean that our response to life is, did I feel a specific call of the Lord to go to the grocery store today? And if I didn't, then I'm not going to go. That's not what he means. He's speaking to this concept of that he mentioned, you know, right before, that it is not the eating or drinking or anything else. It's not that. That's not the problem. It's if you're violating a conviction before the Lord, then you're condemning yourself before the Lord, right? You're creating sin in your life. And so there's a appropriate slowness when you feel unsure about something. I would argue it's better to not do it until you have a clear conviction of the Lord one way or the other. So basically, if you're asking the question, is this biblical or not? I think most of the time that's born out of actual conviction from the Holy Spirit, potentially, that, you know, should be a real warning to say, maybe I need to stop. Maybe I need to consider this and decide before moving forward, right? Not so instead of just going forward, going, well, other Christians do it, so it's no big deal. Or I don't know what's going on about this, or I don't know if this is particularly biblical or not. I feel wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, I don't know it to not be wrong. I think the better biblical position is assume that it's probably wrong until you know for sure one way or the Lord, one way or the other before the Lord, where you can genuinely say, okay, here's my conviction before the Lord, and I'm going to walk in it. So that's Romans 14. That's how the Apostle Paul addresses this particular topic of personal convictions. And I hope that's somewhat helpful in thinking through, in navigating through these areas of personal convictions. And keep in mind as well, pay attention to the rest of the instruction and encouragement of Scripture, because, you know, sometimes it takes multiple texts to help us kind of form a conviction on a particular thing or on a particular issue. And then also the other thing I would say too, just in a final comment as we wrap up here in this episode, is that our convictions should grow and they should change as we continue to pursue the Lord and change and grow ourselves. You know, maybe things that were necessary to move closer to the Lord and away from sin become over time less necessary as we've actually grown in faith in our walk with the Lord. And now we have new convictions that help us grow even further, right? Maybe they get us to deeper levels of recognition of things that are getting in the way of our faith and walk with the Lord. So I think that's a good thing. I don't think you have to hold as a Christian to, this is my conviction before the Lord, and this is always going to be my conviction before the Lord. Maybe there are some things like that, but there should be room for new conviction as time goes on, as you grow in your walk with the Lord. You know, he started out in Romans 14 talking about those who are weak in faith. Obviously, their engagement is very different than one who's strong in faith. And then one who's strong in faith can be stronger still over time. And so we allow ourselves for that space to continue to grow and walk with the Lord. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.